all that bitter cold winter, I wondered what had become of Satsu and of my mother and father. Most nights when I lay on my futon, I was sick with anxiety and felt a pit inside myself as big and empty as if the whole world were nothing more than a giant hall empty of people. To comfort myself, I closed my eyes and imagined that I was walking along the path beside the sea cliffs in Yoroido. I knew it so well I could picture myself there as vividly as if I really had run away with Satsu and was back at home again. In my mind, I rushed toward our tipsy house, holding Satsu's hand, though I had never held her hand before, knowing that in another few moments we would be reunited with our mother and father. I never did manage to reach the house in these fantasies. Perhaps I was too afraid of what I might find there, and in any case, it was the trip along the path that seemed to comfort me. Then, at some point, I would hear the cough of one of the maids near me, or the embarrassing sound of Granny passing wind with a groan, and in that instant, the smell of the sea air dissolved. The coarse dirt of the path beneath my feet turned into the sheets of my futon once again, and I was left where I'd started with nothing but my own loneliness. When spring came, the cherry trees blossomed in Maruyama Park, and no one in Kyoto seemed to talk about anything else. Hatsumomo was busier than usual during the daytime because of all the blossom-viewing parties. I envied her the bustling life I saw her prepare for every afternoon. I'd already begun to give up my hopes of awakening one night to find that Satsu had sneaked into our okie to rescue me, or that in some other way I might hear word of my family in Yoroido. Then one morning, as Mother and Auntie were preparing to take Granny on a picnic, I came down the stairs to find a package on the floor of the front entrance hall. It was a box about as long as my arm, wrapped in heavy paper and tied up with frayed twine. I knew it was none of my business, but since no one was around to see me, I went over to read the name and address in heavy characters on the face. It said, Sakamoto Chiyo, care of Nitta Kayoko, Gion Taminagacho, City of Kyoto, Kyoto Prefecture. I was so astonished that I stood a long while with my hand over my mouth, and I'm sure my eyes were as big around as teacups. The return address, beneath a patch of stamps, was from Mr. Tanaka. I had no idea what could possibly be in the package, but seeing Mr. Tanaka's name there, you may find it absurd, but I honestly hoped perhaps he'd recognized his mistake in sending me to this terrible place and had mailed me something to set me free from the Okia. I can't imagine any package that might free a little girl from slavery. I had trouble imagining it even then, but I truly believed in my heart that somehow, when that package was opened, my life would be changed forever.